from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
I have a suggestion for somebody who is on his own, no wife, no provider of dinner for the next, who knows, it could be tonight, it could be multiple nights, but I have a solution because I heard somebody on this show was struggling a little bit.
Man, it's hard.
Sonic.
That's smart.
America's Driving. They got everything you could possibly want on the menu, man.
Right.
And especially, you know, look, my recommendation, got the popcorn chicken, got the grilled cheese, but also on top of everything else, the new Flavorista favorites. New crafted drink menu with flavors for every moment, Jason. Take CJ to Sonic.
Yep, he'll love it. They've got the rainbow slush with real strawberries, lemonade, and blue raspberry, or the lemonade cream cooler. You'll like that as well with cream and vanilla soft serve. CJ loves soft serve. And you're right, man, because Sonic ain't going to break the bank. And that's what's killing. I mean, you go out here, you're trying to fend for yourself and your kid, right? You need a good deal. Sonic's got the great deal. Don't forget about the groovy fries. They are as fantastic as advertised. No question about that. Every time you're at Sonic, you're living free and you're eating Sonic. Usually on Mondays around this time, I know I've been gone, or certainly missed last Monday, up in New York City, so I got burgers to give out. I'm on the Big Green Egg. I'm patting them out like I used to do at the Metro Country Club. We're seasoning these a little different than I used to do back in the day, though. We season these with respect in a world full of disrespect. Let's do respect burgers.
Now, it's time for the Jason and John Show, Respect Burgers.
R-E-S-E-C-T.
Sizzling Respect Burgers, served hot and fresh from Jason and John.
Now, I'm really surprised on this first one that I hadn't heard a peep out of John about WNBA All-Star. Let me tell you something a little bit behind the scenes. Whole time I was in New York, while I was gone on my little break, I'm getting text about Rookie of the Year race is over. Because Caitlin Clark's going out there. People are actually hitting me on Twitter about, John said, Jason, it's over.
It's
Angel
over.
Ain't getting it. I'm getting daily updates.
Updates.
While I'm trying to see the Empire State Building and everything else.
Race war.
And then I get in here today, and I don't hear a peep about the WNBA All-Star weekend.
Mood. It's an All-Star game.
She did help beat Team USA. You didn't find that impressive?
Weren't
tuned in at all.
No, I was not.
Let me tell you what, I was. And I think for the first time in my life ever for a WNBA All-Star weekend, okay? I was tuned in. Not just on Saturday for the game, where we talked about it when we saw the rosters, found out, okay, the WNBA All-Stars, including Angel, including Caitlin, are going to be taking on Team USA. We liked that. But also, I watched Friday night, John, for the skills competition. I was all in. And did you see what happened? John didn't. Do you
Correct.
Know who Alicia Gray is?
She is a great basketball player.
Who she play for?
She plays for the...
You're about to get it.
Las Vegas Aces.
Atlanta Dream, fool. Get to know her. If you'd watch the weekend, you would know her and you'd know what a freaking treat she is to watch. She went out and won the skills competition and then the three-point competition. But here's the best part in doing it. She earned $110,000. for winning both. She talked about it having, after she won the three-point contest, John, having another $55K in her pocket. Listen, $110,000. She adds another $25.75, $2,575,000 from the league for each win. It put her at $152,150 for winning both events. That is over 62% of her salary in the WNBA at $185,000. So she was fantastic in the skills contest. She was fantastic in the interviews with Holly Rowe. On a weekend, obviously, where we're talking about a lot of the Team USA players, Asia, Taurasi, all those, I thought Alicia really shined on Friday night. And then again, in helping beat Team USA for the WNBA All-Stars. But again, to get that money, you had to be happy for it. And I'm going to get to a bigger point here in a minute. But also the All-Star game itself, if you saw any of the highlights off ESPN, you probably saw Ogunbowale
yep.
hitting everything in the second half. Arike Ogunbowale is the best one-on-one player in the WNBA. That's what I learned over the weekend. It confirmed for some, I'm coming around on learning all these players in the NBA. Obviously, with the attention, the new attention that's been drawn to it, she had 0 points at halftime. Cheryl Miller tells her,
right.
Go play your game. We want to beat Team USA. She comes back, scores 34 at 21 in the third quarter. You talk about somebody that can shoot, can take anybody off the dribble. They could not stop her. But back to the point, it was competitive.
Yeah.
That's why I kept watching. And part of that is the setup. You had Team USA, who was off to Paris after the game, that doesn't have Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark. And, oh, by the way, you know, Arike Ogunbowale felt like it was going to be too much politics, so she pulled her name out of consideration. You can make an argument she should certainly be on that team, and maybe, you know, the stink should have been higher as opposed to us talking about whether Caitlin and Angel should have been on it. But the point was they wanted to win, and maybe some of that is the setup you had itself. But there was a competitive game out there for four quarters. It's what we don't get from the men. It's what we do not get from the men. And again, you saw major effort in just the skills competition for the money itself. And whether it's skills or a dunk contest that's got a $5 million prize, you can make people care about this. You can make the game, the NBA game, more competitive. And the WNBA showed us an example of it over the weekend. Again, maybe you have to change the format. Other people have poo-pooed us down, shot it down. I think Anthony Sane was one of them before right. I got out of here about making it a world team versus a USA team in the All-Star break. But my point is, we can tinker with this thing and make it better.
Agreed.
But remember, the All-Star game's not even watchable anymore. We've tried everything, charity for each quarter, Elam endings or whatever else. I watched that WNBA All-Star game, and it was extremely competitive, and that made it fun.
Yes.
So a respect burger to all of the WNBA for a fantastic weekend, especially to Alicia, again, for picking up, you know, again, more than half of what she makes an entire year. They got it right. And with this new TV media rights deal, the WNBA's got a ton of momentum. I'm not going to lie to you. At first, I'm telling myself I'm not going to get sucked into it. So much of this feels like spinning an opportunity, right? Dude, it's real. And they have got real hoopers out there. It ain't just a bunch of missed layups and everything else. It's some real good basketball out there. And if you don't believe so, just go watch Ogunbowale. She is an absolute baller. Your girl Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese both shine, too, again, in helping that team WNBA beat the USA team, which was certainly a nice wake-up call for them as they now head to Paris and look to win another gold medal. So great weekend for the WNBA, I thought, over in Phoenix. Again, we touched on this earlier because I couldn't contain my excitement about just the effort level put in by the South Sudanese, Luol Deng, former Chicago Bull, played many Cleveland Cavaliers, I want to say. Miami Heat.
Miami Heat.
Is he a play for so many teams that you call him a journeyman? I want to stop short of journeyman.
Nah, he was a journeyman.
Because he was good in every place, like a real contributor.
Well, I mean, that doesn't mean it.
Either way.
He was with he had the Lakers. I mean, he was with the Lakers.
If you're more than five teams, you're a journeyman.
He's five. He's at five.
Journeyman just makes you sound like. Luol Deng had major years with the Bulls, where he was one of the top two players.
But if you're in the
league. You're probably right.
If you're in the league for 15 years. And you have five teams, you're a journeyman. That doesn't have to be a negative. Most players are journeymen.
I always think of journeyman as a guy who couldn't find a regular home, never stayed because what? Because they, you know, teams are willing to let him go.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you're right.
It has some negative connotations.
Yeah, I get that.
But it also means long career.
He's a two-time All-Star.
But that's a monster years for the Bulls. All that said, definitely has to be more respected in the world basketball landscape for what he's done for the South Sudanese, who, oh, by the way, up until 2011, didn't even have their independence. Had to get that from Sudan. In 2019, Deng was informed by their government, we're looking for somebody to run our basketball program. He starts off by coaching it himself. And then he realizes, no, I need to organize this thing and actually put in a better coach than me. He does that by adding an assistant, NBA assistant, Royal Ivy, as the coach. And then look at sort of when you put the team together, and again, it's a bunch of guys, some that have some NBA experience, others headed to college, others who won't ever get any NBA experience or play in college, come together and give Team USA all they can handle, a 101-100 loss in a friendly. Was the fourth of five, I believe, for Team USA. Certainly was the best game of the bunch so far. Don't expect, as John said, they killed Serbia. I expect they'll handle Germany tonight. They did not expect to get this kind of run from a South Sudan team that was a 43.5-point underdog going into this game. Again, had a chance to win it there at the end. You got to credit LeBron James, who at 39 years old, if you're Steve Kerr, you tell him, well, I mean, at the end of that game, the ball's just in LeBron's hands. You say, go get the basket. And to be able to do that at 39, again, against some of the world's best athletes, pretty impressive. I'd still tell you pretty much it's got to be a disappointment to USA that you were even in that position whatsoever. But more so a credit and a testament to the work that's being done, not just by South Sudan, but the world in terms of the effort level now they're putting into basketball, resourcing it, and just playing it at a higher level. And we certainly saw an example of that over the weekend. All right, another thing, something I went to on Saturday night, and a guy you know well, I think went to your wedding. I want to give him a respect burger. Kevin Cerrito.
Yeah.
And the folks over at 901 Wrestling. Shout out to Tommy Jacks, who was the voice of that thing. Anthony Sane, now our man on Fridays, has got a real nice little chemistry with Kevin Cerrito now as sort of the announcers on it. Kantar Macklin was back in town from Houston on Saturday, where their wild card rumble honored a former wrestler of theirs, a guy who died extremely young in his 20s. It was a drowning incident. His name was Devin Grant. His wrestling name was Devin Wild Card Taylor. And they have put together these wild card rumbles in his honor. And I went out Saturday night, thanks to my man Anthony Sane, let us in. And I watched Cerrito and Sane at work. Tommy Jacks come out, open the whole thing up. We had an absolute blast. And again, Black Lodge, you guys, Sane comes on, talks about it every Friday. You should know about this by now. But it is such a throwback. And I've talked about this with before because I've been to a couple of events. It is such a throwback to just the feel of Monday nights and wrestling in Memphis. And yes, that was in a bigger venue in the Coliseum, but the place was full. It was packed, and they're just doing a fantastic job, Cerrito and crew, of keeping Memphis wrestling going. And in this case, in this event, honoring a young man who had really, I think found it from all the stories that Sane's told me that I've heard now from 901 Wrestling, a young man who had really found himself in this with this crew, with this company of wrestlers, and again passed away far too soon. Thought they did a great thing over the weekend. Really enjoyed that. If you guys haven't been out to 901 Wrestling, I encourage you to do that. It's great fun, and they're packing the house now.
Yeah.
They're gonna have to. Black Lodge gonna lose them pretty soon.
Yeah,
that concessions line, me and CJ are trying to get in, got real. It's because the place is packed.
There you go.
Got real long, but they're doing a fantastic job there. And then finally, a little bit of a personal story. One, John, I did not tell you from New York. I do not know her name. I'm going to call her Lil Shorty.
Lil Shorty?
Yeah. Lil Shorty, we were staying in Queens, Flushing to be exact,
yeah,
in our hotel. Faith, CJ, and I were coming down the elevator, and Lil Shorty gets on with a man and another woman. We proceed to go down to the lobby. I'm thinking it's just going to be a regular interaction on an elevator. When the door closed, Lil Shorty turned to the man that she had gotten on the elevator with, and she told him that if this kid wasn't here, referring to CJ, I would whoop your you-know-what. And so in that moment, Faith and I looked at each other, and we said, oh, no, we're on an elevator with some New York people, and we're about to see some ish, some stuff.
Yeah.
And we need to protect CJ. And so me... Right, Mr. Calm everything down. I said, whoa, 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 from behind her. I say, it's all good. Let's just get down to the lobby and we'll figure everything out. Lil Shorty then turns to me and proceeds to tell me, how you gonna say it's all good when homeboy over here cheated on me and I just found out? So that's why she was in his face. And she points to the other world and she says, and you were just sitting there laughing. And so we have a cheating situation on the elevator. She is ready to confront with us sitting there. And you got the little silly dude from Memphis saying, everybody calm down. This is a real life situation for them. And again, I could get into what little shorty had on, what the other girl had on, like the situation there and what all the history of it. Probably some more stories to that. You understand what I'm saying? But something I think, even though she kind of fired back at me, you don't understand what I'm going through. Something about that woman understood what I was saying, that it didn't need to happen on the elevator. At least let us get down to the lobby and you go confront bro, because I understand now. Mm-hmm. I understand he crossed the line. Please confront him outside the elevator without my son right here, because like you just said, if you do it,
yep,
we're in this confined space. You're probably going to hit me, CJ, yep, Faith, all of us. Let's just hold. And so I want to give a respect burger to her for at least waiting till we got down to the lobby. And yes, folks, we watched as they walked out to the front. She slapped that fool on the back of the head, and I said, let's go, before the police come.
Isn't it Beyonce and Jay-Z where Beyonce whooped the hell out of Jay-Z's sister?
It was Solange.
Yeah. Solange got a crack at Jay-Z. Yeah. It was in an elevator.
That is that is something that I envisioned
happening.
That's
what I was thinking in my head when you're telling me the story.
When it's close quarters like that, you're probably going to catch a bow or something.
Yeah, you get a loose one.
Because, again, it's close quarters in
an
elevator.
Good on you to get it out of there.
I appreciate little shorty for holding her temper just long enough. When she turned around and gave me the look, I understand it. That you don't understand that this is a life situation, and I just found out this dude cheating on me. Maybe with the other girl in the elevator. Like, that's what I was trying to figure it out as we – but. You know, again, at that point, Faith saying, bro, let's get back to the
respect.
Respect to you.
Respect.
Yeah.
Like a little shorty.
Yeah, respect a little shorty for sure. Look, I'm going to give a disrespect, dog, and I don't know how you don't, to Cheryl Reeve, because you assemble an Olympic team that can't even beat the others. Basically, that's the distinction, right? You have an Olympic team, teams that were good enough, that you deemed good enough to go to Paris, and you're gonna and look, you're gonna dominate no matter what, because that's just the state of the world.
Well, they won six in a row. Yeah,
but how do you get beat by all the others in the WNBA? I mean, including Arike, who took herself out of the pool, right? But also Caitlin Clark, who you guys said was not ready, who has not earned it. Who, by the way, in the time since you decided that, she became the first rookie ever to have a triple double, and then she went on to break the assist record.
Rookie assist. She almost broke Sue Bird's overall assist.
Oh, excuse me, rookie assist record. Yeah, so rookie assist record, and was she's not the all time. I thought she broke that record.
I'm just talking about All Star game. Bird.
No, I'm talking about the 19 assist game in the regular season.
Yes. That's the WNBA record for a game.
Yeah. And so in that,
she claimed close to breaking Sue Bird's All-Star game record. She had 10. Sue Bird's was 11.
And so every time I look at Cheryl Reeve's stupid face, I'm like, how? How is this, how are you allowed to still do this job?
Is it her? Do they have a Grant Hill type?
Well, they have a committee, but I mean, I think Cheryl's got a lot of input in it, would be my guess. More so than, for example, Steve Kerr might have. I mean, I think it's more, when you're the coach, though, you have that.
Well, yeah.
You know, and I think so for her to take that L, like, it's whatever. They'll destroy the rest of the world, because that's the way it works. But it's like, you clearly are not making the best decisions here, because your group got beat.
Just the Agumba Wale one on its own, for her to feel like,
exactly,
I'm going to pull myself out, because you guys should be catering
What's the culture over here?
Yeah, y'all should be catering to Arike Agumba Wale. She is awesome. Like, that would be your feature scorer on the perimeter. Like, what are we? She just bust your heads in that game. And what do you mean she's not on the team? So for her to even feel like, oh, it's too political. No. Like I said, you guys should be welcoming her with open arms, begging her to play for Team USA. So just that alone, was a mistake. And then back to, I mean, Caitlin went out there, double digit assists. She's shown. I mean, she's the best setup person, it looks like, in the league this year.
Yep.
And then you got the best offensive rebounder in Angel Reese, the best offensive rebounder in the league. And so we can question a couple of the decisions, but on it's just Agumba Wale by herself, to your point, is reason enough for the disrespect dog here, that they don't have her involved in Team USA and helping John that culture keep going, because that's the kind of attitude you need up in there.
Yep.
Man, she was busting heads.
They may need a...
That's what made the game so fun.
A change, in my view, because Cheryl Reeve's been doing it for a long time. They may need a change, a fresh look.
Maybe so, yeah. Maybe the whole, putting the team together, all of the whole process.
Exactly.
Because you need a Gumbawales in there.
Yeah, she's been with USA Basketball for a long time. I believe she became the head coach in the Olympic coach in 2021, I think. I think that's when it started. I'm not exactly sure, but she's been there for a lot longer than that. But I just feel like, again, you're getting beat by the others.
This is the second straight one, too. They said that Team USA was going to come to play because they had lost the last time out to the WNBA All-Stars.
Exactly.
They went back out there and beat them again.
Yeah, no, that's disrespect dog worthy, no question about it. All right, we'll come back. We'll talk to Jason Fitz. Got NFL training camps getting underway, college football, and more. Stick around. Jason and John, how do you turn to fam? ESPN.
Yeah, you may not have $1 million. You don't need $1 million to watch it grow with our friends at Leaders Credit Union. Launch your savings with that Forward Plus high-yield savings account. No minimums, no balance tiers, and no restrictions to keep you from championing your personal finances. You open up an account, you can earn up to 4.25% APY on your money. It's just going to sit there. You park it, and it's just going to grow. It's a beautiful thing. To open up your account, all you need to do, visit leaderscu.com/ESPN. Again, leaderscu.com/ESPN. That's where you'll find all the details and disclosures. Leaders is your financial champion, federally insured by the NCUA. So while you were gone, I did a video over at Field of 68 for Memphis' offseason. And I've done a few of these. It's Memphis, Ole Miss, Texas A&M, a few others. And at the end of it, you give a grade, right? You talk about the offseason, who's in, who's out, what they're off of, what they're going into, and you give a grade. And my grade of Memphis' offseason was a C. I gave Memphis a C.
Mm-hmm.
Rob Doster, who I did the videos with, however, gave Memphis a D, which stands for degree at the University of Memphis. D stands for a degree, diploma, which is why I had a lot of those, as did you at Memphis. But we are still standing. We're here, right here today. We're right here today, man. So that would be what I would say to Penny. This D might stand for NCAA tournament in this whack-ass league. You know? D stands for a degree. Does it stand for that to you?
I don't think it's a D.
Oh, you disagree with Rob Doster's grading.
I mean, I would preface it by saying we don't believe this is the ideal way to continuity and roster building, but we also knew what the job was going to be. Because we knew what all he was losing last year. And so my point is that there will be a ton of transfer portal additions, hopefully more than the majority of them, or at least a good percentage of them, with multiple years. So you are building towards continuity. And we can bicker about, the quality of player and how it fits and everything else. But, the rankings tell you, in terms of these transfer portal guys, most of them were coveted. Most of them were wanted. And, what's Evan Maya got? A top 10, top 12? Transfer portal ranking?
Yes.
I mean, that's, again, in that, D's close to failing. Yeah, you got a top 10 transfer portal class. Again, we can argue that it's really not an argument. It's not the best way to put together a college basketball roster, but in terms of doing it, you've done it among the best that are out for transfer portal guys. Realize, because we were talking about this, a lot of that is because of number of players,
right.
Number of players in the portal that you're getting credit for here. But I think a D is too low. I don't mind, John, you going average.
Yeah.
Because I do think it's jaded a little bit. I think it's what we've seen.
Could be
how good things looked on paper last year, how they fell apart.
Yeah,
right. We have no idea how this team's going to come together. That's the other part about it. So I think last year proved to us it's dangerous to try to predict this thing on paper. And again, it can look good for a while, but what happens if you take one piece out? When you don't have to go back to your Spoelstra, a culture. You've lost it because you're replacing it every year. When you don't have that culture to fall back on, you take a piece out. It's like a house of cards. You take Caleb Mills out, the whole thing can fall apart.
Yep.
That's what you're running the risk of when you're putting together teams like this.
So yeah.
I can understand a low grade because this is not the ideal way to put the roster. But from what he's put on paper, it looks average to decent.
Well,
I don't think it's a D.
Yeah, no, I think when you put it that way, that's fair. That a D is almost failing, which you would say this offseason was not that. It was not close to failure in terms of the. But I think the context is
I think Rob actually, instead of get graded in the off season, I think he graded the in his mind the trajectory of Memphis basketball. I think that's actually what he ended up doing, like subconsciously, right? I think that's what he did. And maybe that's what I did as well. Maybe that's sort of the way I did it is, you know, because again, if you just eliminate all the rest, it's a good enough roster. It's good enough, right? But I think the part that, you know, I have a hard time looking past is the constant shuffling of the bench, right? People in, people out, no stability. You look at, you know, results. You know, you look at, you know, not replacing David Jones.
Well, I mean, you get a hit for that one.
You know, so.
Yeah, losing David.
I think a C is pretty fair. I mean, the only thing that, well, there's two
I'm
things.
I'm just saying, if Memphis is a D, I'm not going to use yours, but then what is, you talked about how USF got rocked.
Yes.
Like, they lost
well,
more.
Well, we're
than,
not doing offseason grades on USF.
But
so
I'm just
they
saying,
wouldn't be an F.
I mean, you may want to use a sliding scale, but that's my point. Right. They have to be because they lost more than what they brought in.
I agree.
And again, you're trying to beat down conference. You should have enough
right.
to win it, and so how is that close to a failing grade? I'd be closer to you.
Yeah,
I'd probably have a. I'm not going to throw B plus at it.
Yeah, you would throw a B.
Losing
on it.
David Jones and then not being able to sort of fill that because
right.
you'd held out hope that he would be
not
the guy.
Having a plan behind
that's,
it.
That's not was not ideal.
Yeah.
Although maybe not a plan, but I do credit them for not just going after a guy like Kaluma throwing the money away, and then you've brought in
sure.
some inefficient player that's
yeah.
definitely going to lead to
yeah.
bad chemistry and everything else.
There's
at least you didn't do that.
Right. There's two things that are going for Memphis this offseason.
David Jones got two-way, by the way.
He did. Yeah, it's official. Had a good game yesterday against the Celtics.
23 points.
The two things going for Memphis this offseason are Evan Mia's transfer ranking, which I'll respect to him. I almost disregard completely.
I know, but most of that is based on the whole numbers thing, right? I
mean, right, yeah, because Louisville has the best recruiting class, like the best, which is like, come on, they don't. I promise you.
And how many of them is it? 10,
yeah.
11? They got
I mean,
a whole
so it's
team,
it's all weighted, so I just almost throw that out. But I do actually put a lot of stock, as you know, into Bart Torvik's analytics, mm-hmm. and he has Memphis on the cusp of being a top 25 team based on their additions.
That's what I'm saying.
So,
all this right there. I mean, Rob could have them as a D. They could be a better team than last year's was.
It's possible. It's going to be tough.
By the end of it.
It's going to be tough. I mean, the end will not, but the beginning, it'll be tough to be as even as good.
You will not be as good in non-conference as you were last year. That's too tough.
Within a couple of games, even, right? Like, if they're, you know.
It's 13 games. Last year, they were 11-2. You're not doing that again.
They were 15-2, right?
Well,
I thought they started 15.
It's 13.
In the
18 conference, it's 13 non-conference. You're not going 11-2 again.
Yeah, you would take.
That was unbelievable. Really,
that's how many games? 13 games.
13.
So you would take 8-5. You would take 8-5. 100%.
I would take 8-5 when I got UConn and North Carolina. You know, in the Maui.
The best you're gonna be able to hope for is 9-4. You're not going to be 10-3. You're not going to be 11-2.
I don't think so, unless they Penny just surprising the heck out of us.
I mean, 9-4 would be like, damn, that's a really good mark.
Oh, 9-4 with that non-conference schedule.
I mean, you'll be a projected tournament team, and you know, all you'll have to do is not crap your pants in the AAC again.
Yeah, just keep four losses. 14-4, win the thing.
Like honestly, like for Memphis to make the tournament as an at-large, they have to be like 23-7. Right, like they got to be something like that. You're not getting in if you're, 22-9 or, 21-10. You're not no chance. You have no prayer. Not happening. Your league's too bad. I mean, to me, the minimum is like you got to win. You can lose 7 games. Like that's the max I would say. 4 games out of league, 3 in. Or invert those numbers, right? But I do think you'll get pinged. You'll get pinged so hard if you lose in your league. To anybody. It doesn't matter.
What was crazy is that he got them late. He won them in June. He was getting them late last summer still, and you still had a great start. Right? Remember, he wanted to get them early to help develop the culture earlier, right, so you have a better chemistry. And you got off to the great start. You got off to, again, 11-2 in the non-conference. Well, this time he's gotten them. Let's be real. While you still wanted to bring David Jones back and you've had, one here late, you've had the majority of the team when you wanted them in June. You've had the majority of the squad. Hopefully it's going to pay off. Last year, technically, they didn't need it for the great start, although it did. You could argue clearly chemistry was an issue, cost them down the stretch. But I'm hoping, I say all that to say, that Penny's plan of having them there a little earlier you know, with a group that, for the most part, is a respectable group on paper, mm-hmm. for what he pulled out of the transfer portal, that having them earlier is going to help get back to a culture and a chemistry that, in the end, again, is hopefully paying dividends, keeping you together through the adversity times.
Yes.
When you don't have a culture, that's when you break apart. And again, replacing so much is why it fell apart last year, is why you lost the culture, you lost the defense. So, again, maybe the early start, having most of it here by June, knowing that some of these guys are going to be multiple-year guys, you know, you're not bringing back much of that, just Nick Jourdain, right? You know, maybe it gets you to a culture that, again, can help you sustain through adversity.
Yes.
Because the adversity tore them apart last year.
No doubt about that.
Lost culture.
And so I think, look, I think I'm glad we talked about this because, you know, it does bring another, you know.
My guess, Doster loved them on paper last year, right?
I think Doster, like Doster's whole thing was, I've been giving Penny the benefit of the doubt every single year.
Well, so okay. And that's a buildup of things.
And now he's like, I'm not probably going to do that anymore.
Well, I feel like that's kind of where Parrish is with Memphis in the top 25-1. Like, you know, I'm not giving it to you just based on the benefit of the doubt in the preseason anymore. You got to go earn it. Mm-hmm. Like, that's been Gary from the CBS Sports sort of line. And I get
Did he say that? I didn't hear
No, it. But well, aren't we picking that up from Gary in terms of his rankings every year? He's now, right. Memphis has to go earn it.
Yeah.
He was just as, you know, yeah. he used to sort of be in that sort of routine of you put Memphis in there because you expect it, especially based on the recruiting. You don't do that anymore. And after a while, that does come back and cost you when you're Penny Hardaway. I mean, it can keep you out of rankings because that becomes the story. It's not just a narrative, you know, that becomes the book on you. And so, yeah, it's on the coach to get to, you know, to get the course corrected, to get the trajectory changed.
Exactly.
I mean, Ryan Sofield got this thing turned around quick. Penny can do that too, but it won't be easy.
Yeah.
Especially with this non-conference schedule.
By the way, congratulations in order. Maverick Miller, son of Mike Miller, has committed. He's committed to his next school. He's going to college. He's going to go to High Point. Mav Miller. How about that? And I think, you know, the idea there is to, you know, obviously develop.
Play.
And yeah, exactly. And then, you know.
Who's the coach at High Point now?
Utilize that transfer portal. It is Huss. It is Huss. I believe he was at Creighton before he got the job there at High Point. Alan Huss.
Okay.
And I want to say they were in the South Big South Conference Championship game last year. So he's done a good job there, and he's going to play, and there's a familiarity, you know, with the staff. So Mavs headed to High Point, and again, the idea is to kill it in the Big South and then, you know, work your way up. So because he spent this year in prep. He was at Tennessee Prep. I don't think our man William Bedford's still there, but that's
– They've gone, yeah, with a Harold – No, the most recent coach went somewhere else.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I don't know who's coaching in Tennessee.
But that's where Mav's been this past season, you know, because he graduated Houston 2 years ago.
Right.
So, and then he spent the year at prep, didn't like the offers he got, and then, you know, got a High Point offer, and he's going to head up there to,
I mean, for him.
You know, I mean, that's a beautiful campus, bro. The facilities are better than people realize. We always talked about that with Tubby. Like, the money is there, weirdly enough.
Isn't the court named after him now?
I think so, yeah. I think so. The house that Tubby built, bro. Mav Miller going to the house that Tubby built. Tubby missed out on at Kentucky. But is Tubby getting the last laugh subconsciously?
Come on and get some, Tyler.
I don't know. Maybe so. It was destiny. Anyway.
Congrats to him.
Yeah, shout out to Mav, man. Congrats, young man. Go kill it. Go kill it, dog. Different game than Dad. Very different. Explosive. As opposed to he can shoot it, but it's put the ball on the ground and get to the rim.
I mean, that's where Bronny needs to be with him at High Point.
Yeah, that's right. That's about right.
Playing.
Bronny did show better in the final two games of Summer League.
I saw he shot the ball a little better.
Two straight dubs, man. But yeah, like, Bronny's not an NBA player. He's just not. And that's okay, but he's not. He's like a solid.
Dad and Clutch want to make history, bro.
Exactly, which they did. So there you go. You got what you were looking for. Anyway, we'll come back, wrap this up here on a Monday. Jason and John, 99.5 ESPN. Time is running out to get your sunny summer getaway over at Robert Irwin Jewelers. They've extended it one more week up to 40% off all engagement rings. And again, You get free vacations with every purchase of $24.95 or more. This ends August 3rd. Spend $24.95 or more. Get three-night hotel stays in places like Myrtle Beach, Orlando, Fort Lauderdale, Miami, Hilton Head, Anaheim, $49.95 or more. You get a $500 airfare credit with a three-night stay at a resort in Mexico, the Dominican Republic, Bahamas, or select Caribbean islands. So whatever the case may be, whatever your budget is, you have a free vacation waiting for you at Robert Irwin Jewelers.
Doesn't get any easier than that. It's an absolute no-brainer. So if you're ready to pop the question, you're messing up if you're not getting over to see Howie. Because as John said, this is basically the free vacation. The free place to pop the question, the exotic locale that you will need to get the yes. You're already going to be spending the money anyway on the engagement ring. Buy your loose diamond and custom-made engagement ring at Robert Irwin Jewelers, and you have 365 days to return it, so there are no second-guessing, did I get the wrong one, any of that. They've got choices for every budget, largest collection of natural diamonds, and wide selection of lab-grown diamonds. If I could do it all over again, I would go lab-grown and get more sparkle for your buck that way. It's certainly the way that I would go. Howie's got all the options, though. You just need to get there, get your face in the place. Five locations in Memphis and Little Rock, or online at rijewelers.com. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices. Always at Robert Irwin Jewelers.
I mean, that's pretty nuts, by the way. Like, you just buy the jewelry and you get a vacation out of it.
Yeah, I wish it had been around,
what,
16 years ago when I went to the big box store that's closed in the mall now.
Yeah, yep. Because the truth,
I believe it was Whitehall.
I mean, the truth of the matter is that, you know, like, you know, for a lot of people, you're going to be buying jewelry for your spouse or significant other, or you're about to get married, right?
Do you remember Whitehall?
No.
Was that Wolf Chase? Where was that at?
Yeah, there was one. I want to say it was Wolf Chase. There was one in Oak Court. You remember Whitehall jewelry, bro?
Mm-hmm.
That was the big box that went out of.
It was a hot one back in the day. That's where everybody sort of went. It was a box store type.
Should have went with Howie.
Yep.
Should have went local. Again, you want to go back. Somebody cares about you. You know, these folks just closed down.
A lot of them are closing.
Yes.
RIJ putting them out, man.
Yep.
Putting them out.
So go see Howie. Don't,
yeah, man. I mean,
don't be dumb like I was.
$49.95 or more, you get that three-night and the $500.
And I'm looking at lab-grown.
Mm-hmm. Airfare.
And you don't have the conflict.
I'm just like, I'm trying to understand, like how is he making money on this, bro? Like,
well, they know what they're doing.
What's he doing over there, man? I don't know. Anyway, speaking of, you know, this isn't a jewelry, isn't a collectible, but it is a high-value item. You were telling me about this, you know, this locker from Kobe.
Yeah, just imagine, John, that you were a FedEx Form maintenance man.
Yeah.
Okay, and renovations, which we know are coming at some point, they will commence at some point. We're coming, and then we're going to destroy all the lockers.
Yep.
Right, the old lockers. And imagine that John Morant's locker, or take your favorite Grizzly, whoever it is, that Marc Gasol's or Zebo's is there. You're a worker, it's there, but you know it's about to get destroyed. And so you say, you know what, I'm going to grab this. I'm going to take it home with me. That is essentially what a maintenance worker did at Staples before their renovations. He recognized Kobe Bryant's locker, and he took it out of there, and he put it in storage. He then sold it to a collector who had bought the nameplate. The nameplate of the locker, the gold nameplate that says Bryant, it had been sold. This collector had it, but he did not have the locker. And so once the collector found out that this maintenance worker had the rest of the locker, he then bought it from the maintenance worker so he could put the two things back together, and they will be auctioned off now, that whole locker with the gold plate, with the full locker. Is it Sotheby's? Sotheby's Auction House? They expect it to go for over $1 million. But
Sotheby's,
my
point is, right?
Sotheby's. Yeah. Thank you, Brad. Mm-hmm. Somebody with some culture here knows how to pronounce Sotheby's. Yes, they are expecting over $1 million, maybe 1.2 for this locker.
For the combo.
And again, I would just go back to the maintenance worker, the guy who really, the come up was by him. How in the world, when they're going to tear down anything in Staples that's associated with Kobe or touched by Kobe, or how did they not recognize the value then? Shout out, respect burger to the maintenance worker who ends up recognizing, not only recognize the value,
respect.
Somehow gets the thing out of there on and now has claimed ownership of it, puts it up for a couple of years in storage, and waits on a real collector to come around and give him. We do not have the number that the maintenance worker got, but to me, he's the come up man. He's the guy who really just cashed in on the treasure here. Imagine that happening down in FedEx Forum.
Yeah.
Whatever,
yeah.
Whoever your player is, them finding, taking it out of
Damn,
there,
bro.
Taking it past security and everything else, and it's now yours. This guy basically owned Kobe's locker.
Did we get, before phase two of Simmons Bank, did we get Paxton Lynch's bag
That's
out of there?
That's a great point. That's a great point before we get the renovation.
What's that worth, John? I mean, if Kobe's worth
much.
Two bills, I mean, we got a first rounder who kind of fell out on video games, but
I think John's
maybe it's worth something.
Pretty highly ranked in the, on his Memphis athletes.
Is there anything
list.
We can grab out of that stadium that's worth a couple mil, before we start banging away on it? I don't know.
I don't think so.
No?
I don't really think there's a ton. I mean,
we'll break it down.
Yeah, especially because, college guys come and go, right? Like, that was Kobe's locker.
So. Yeah, that's worth some dough.
I mean,
and we're talking about 2019. Like, this is Kobe in 2019, and nobody's recognized that there's a ton of value in that thing. So I'm saying a maintenance worker pulls it out and stores this thing before selling it to collector. So this isn't just some made up story. It's how the collector got it to then give.
Yeah,
to
it's a little
these.
It's a little weird though.
That he pulled it out of the building.
Well, for anybody that wants to have it, I just find it.
Did he technically steal it?
I that I don't know.
Well, yeah, whose property is that to take?
If it's a maintenance worker, it's not his property. He's just there to do maintenance.
Kind of taking it.
I think he definitely stole it.
Kind of stealing. Yeah.
He stole it from Staples.
That's a stolen.
But it was like finding something at sea. It's yours. You know what I'm saying?
It's a bit of stealing.
In this case, Staples just let him take it up out of
it. If it was just going to be destroyed, then it's not stealing. Because, I mean.
Okay, that's somewhat fair.
You know?
Yeah, if they were just not going to forget about it.
So it's hard to say.
But if money's on its way to being destroyed like dead presidents, and somebody steals it, it's still stealing.
No.
Yes, it is.
It's
no money's on the way to be burned or whatever, they stole it and dead. They tried to steal it and dead presidents.
I don't know.
That's still
I wouldn't
stealing.
Lose sleep over that one though.
Not his property just because they're going to destroy
it,
right?
It was going to cease to exist.
I'm trying to get court of law here with you, but it doesn't become his because it's going to.
Well,
they've made the decision
It's nobody's. It's
to
nobody's.
Cease to exist.
There's nobody laying claim to it because they were just going to destroy it.
Well, it's different if he had pulled it out of a garbage can that's outside.
Well, it was impossible to do that though. They were going to destroy it. It was like he preserved a piece of history.
You've said two things. You started saying you agreed it was stealing. Now you're saying it's not.
No, because I've changed my mind.
You've told you.
Good.
You've convinced yourself it's not. Again, I'm not so sure.
I'm
not so
sure. I think
should maintenance workers be coming out of anything, out of any Staples with something? Should they?
If it was being destroyed, I think it's fine. I think it's fine. Like if somebody goes and steals something out of the Mid-South Coliseum.
Like if we get the scoreboard out of that,
it's not going to be used by anybody. Why do we care?
People have done that, I think, at the Coliseum, haven't they? Isn't there an archives?
I looked the other day. That thing's boarded up pretty tight. I don't know how you can get in there and get anything.
The last time they let people in was to clean it up. Wasn't there a cleanup effort?
How we can't put something? They're about to renew Mud
Island,
but we can't renew the
They actually Coliseum. Let people break into it so they can clean it up.
If you get in there, you just got to clean it up.
Please. Please take stuff. Some ceiling tiles.
Exactly.
A little urinal, a trough. Yeah, whatever you want.
It's so creepy that thing just stands there,
weird.
Man.
It just stands there.
I know. While the evolution of Memphis continues right across the parking lot with the Memphis Sports and Events Center. So it's weird to have this old just sitting there.
Can't we drive that crane next door and kind of bang away on it and get an extra dump truck or two?
Why don't y'all put 901 FC up in there?
I mean, I don't know, man. I think it's cooked. I think that thing is cooked. But I'm looking at the pictures. It's so crazy. Just the abandoned ones, right?
It's wild.
So somebody got in there and took pictures of the thing, and it's just like, oh god, this is just disturbing. Walter Arnold is who it was. And it's just disturbing. It's creepy. All right, that's going to do it for us today. Thanks to nobody except us. No justice, just us, as always. Hey, Jeffrey and company up next. Norton Hart, the fourth, is in studio with Jeffrey this week. He's the company. Stick around. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.
Memphis is number one place for sports. This is WMFS-FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis, flagship home of the Memphis Grizzlies. 92.9 FM, ESPN, and Odyssey Sports Station.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good,
and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.